Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
This message here is a little bit different from ones that I normally give. You know, we've been talking about being sent. And I think what better way to talk about our topic today, to be witnesses, to sent to witness, than to understand kind of where we're at as the church at large. And so today, what I wanted to direct your attention to is, I don't know if you guys can make this out here. Basically, this is census data in Canada. The one on the left is from Angus Reid. The one on the right is from the Canadian Census and National Household Survey. What we see here is everything kind of red down is Christians, okay? People that identify in Canada that when asked by census people, what faith are you? They say, you know, we're Christian. And so the blue there, that's Catholic. The orange is mainline churches. And the red is evangelical. And so on this side here, you'll see 1981. This one here starts at 1996, and then 2011 and 2013. And the big thing I want to point out here is you notice how over the course of these years, those black bars, which means no religion, has grown. Well, you'll see that these purple bars, which are other religion, have also grown. Perhaps an easier way to see that is in this one here. You'll see Protestant / evangelical and mainline from 1971 to 2011 has gone from 41% of Canadians identifying that way as to 27%. We've gone from 4% being of another religion to 11%, and the religiously unaffiliated have gone from 4% to 24% of the Canadian population in the last 40 years. But you know, this here is a little bit of an inaccurate picture. The reason being is this is just what people say that they are. And there's still so many people that like to say, I follow Jesus, I'm a Christian, and yet they don't truly grasp the significance of that. And so what I'm going to show you next is census data on church attendance. Now, when I do the church attendance thing, what I'm not trying to say is that going to church equals being a Christian. But what I will say is that by and large, in our day and age, there is a correlation between one's dedication to Christ and one's willingness to come to church on a regular basis. I know that there may be some people whose skin starts to crawl when they hear that, but that's the fact. The writer in the book of Hebrews tells us not to neglect meeting together. Paul tells us that we are a body, but if the body refuses to come together, that body's not doing much. And so here we see, this one again breaks things down based on people. And so you'll see evangelicals is this one right here. This is 1996 versus 2013. The bottom is people that go to church at least weekly. And you'll see actually that evangelicals have continued to come to church at a fairly good rate. We've gone from 49% of evangelicals down to 40%. But compared to other Christian groups, we have, by and large, stayed the same in that area. But what I want to point to is actually a very disturbing one, is people that say they're evangelical, but you go from 13% never going to church, now at 21%, nearly one quarter of evangelicals, people who say that they're evangelical, are never going to church, not even for Christmas and Easter. Another one that we need to be aware of here is the one on the right that says no Christian affiliation. See, it used to be that there were quite a few unbelievers that would come to church. Only 58% of those who said we're not Christians were actually not ever going to church. There were many, 30%, that at least yearly were taking in some kind of church service. And so we could kind of sit back and think, well, you know what? God will do his thing, and they'll come to church on Christmas and Easter, and we'll give them a good gospel presentation, and we'll see them hear the gospel and get changed. But statistics don't bear it out. Statistics don't bear it out. We can't be passive anymore. This here is overall religious attendance in Canada and the U.S. The U.S. is gray, Canada is blue. You'll see that in 1988, we were at approximately 43% of Canadians were in church on a Sunday. And we're now down to 27% of the population on any given Sunday being in some kind of religious service. And friends, we can try to blame others when we look at these statistics. We can try to say, you know, well, it's the world. The world is just so alluring, and people are being indoctrinated by everything out there. And so that's the reason why everything's so bad. It's drawing people away. But you know, if we're honest, and the statistics that we're going to look at today bear this out, it's actually largely because of us. It's because of me. But not just me, but it's all of us together. See, many of us, we don't prioritize Christ in our lives. We're busy. There's a lot of other things going on. And so when we get around to it, we'll go, yeah, right, Jesus. But do we put him first and foremost? We don't live like Christ, a lot of us. And we go out and we do whatever we feel comfortable doing. We do whatever makes us happy in life. And the only thing that distinguishes us from them is that we attend church once in a while. Again, I'm speaking in generalities. There are some of us who have made it our mission in life to prioritize Christ in every aspect of our lives. But by and large, those who call themselves followers of Jesus have lost their way. We don't make an effort to share Christ with others. So what's gone wrong? When we look at these statistics, when we look at this decline, what is it that has gone wrong? Because obviously something has gotten messed up along the way, and I don't think that it's just that Jesus has decided it's time for us to go through some hardship. Because we've been saying Jesus sent us into the world, and by and large, I'm seeing that we don't go into the world that much. We don't go as we've been sent that much. And so there's two things that we're going to look at. And next week, we're going to talk about the one of them, which is a lack of maturity in believers stemming from poor discipleship or no discipleship. And we'll talk about that more next week. But the one we're going to talk about today is that Jesus' followers have unnecessarily become fearful and complacent when it comes to the mission that Jesus has given us. We've become fearful and we've become complacent. We no longer reach out, but we sit back. This is week 3 of our series, Sent, and in the last 2 weeks, we've talked about the fact that Jesus has sent us with his authority. And we've talked about how Jesus has sent us, not alone, but with the power of the Holy Spirit available to us, not to make us great, but to give us the power to stand in the face of all that may come and see him work in amazing ways. And what I want each of us to take after these 4 weeks, to take home and to rest deeply in our hearts, is that every Christian is a minister. Every Christian has a ministry, and that no Christian is meant to be a spectator. We have spectated for too long. We have sat back and said, "Pastor, feed me," for too long while we do nothing ourselves in our own time. We have subsisted on milk rather than solid food for too long. And if you're discontent with the state of the church, if you think the church isn't something that's worthy of your time, the problem is not church. It's that you haven't allowed yourself to be a part of the church. That you haven't done what you can to become involved, to play the role that God has given you. And so when we come to the topic of witnessing, a lot of us, we wish that we knew how to witness. But we just don't know what to say. Or maybe we're afraid. And so because of our fear, because of our insecurity, because it's not something easy, we think that we just start to make it a low priority. Or maybe you've had a bad experience. Right? Maybe it is that you shared your faith and somebody just went off on you, or happened to be one of those people that was like, "Well, I read somewhere on the internet this argument. Can you answer that for me?" And you didn't know what to say. And now you're like, "Oh no, everyone's going to treat me that way if I tell them about Jesus." Or maybe you've just grown up so heavily indoctrinated by our Canadian offend no one, don't talk about any offensive policies kind of mentality that you refuse to go out and do this. But can I tell you, if you go on Facebook, you will notice that rule no longer stands. Because people are offending one another left, right, and center, and they don't seem to be stopping. So why should we be the ones that are quiet? Can I just say, if even one person came to know Jesus through you, I believe that it would reset these worries that you have. It would reset your priorities as you recognize that Jesus wants to change lives through you. He wants to change lives through you. Because Jesus changes everything. Where there's no hope, suddenly there's hope. Where once you were alone, suddenly there's a community. And a God who resides with you. See, we need to go as we've been sent because we're telling the greatest story ever told. We're not just telling people some religious jargon. We're telling them the greatest story ever told. It is something compelling that reaches into the deepest needs of our hearts and shows us that there's more to this world. So today, will you join me in rediscovering how we can live up to the call of Christ to be witnesses in our everyday lives? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask today that you will just open our hearts and open our minds, Lord God, that you'll give us a passion, that you'll birth something in us, that whatever it is that's been blocking us, that's been holding us back in our witness to you, Lord, even myself, whatever's been holding me back today, Lord Jesus, will your Holy Spirit just be at work in us? And break those shackles of bondage, Lord God. Break those things that are holding us back. Break those walls down that are in front of us as we try to do what you've sent us to do, and help us to go forward passionately as witnesses. And Lord, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you're on the ball, you'll notice that is the same text we used last week, and that's okay. I believe that there's just so much that we can glean from this passage, and it's going to help us to learn about what it is that God has for us, what he wants us to do here today. So that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you'd like to follow along with this message on your mobile device, you're welcome to go to ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile, and you'll be able to take your notes and follow along there with everything that we're talking about. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I guess I'm controlling this today. Yes. So remember last week we talked about how Jesus had died on the cross, he'd risen again 3 days later and spent some time talking with his followers. And then just before he ascends to heaven, he says this to them. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So last week we talked about this power that we receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and the fact that this power is not just for ourselves, but it's actually for us to be effective witnesses. A note on that, we see that the coming of the Holy Spirit's power, it does something. There's a reason why Jesus chose 12 disciples. And that is because the 12 disciples were to represent the nation of Israel and the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And if you read your Old Testament in the Bible there, amidst all of these stories and genealogies and wars and laws and all of these things, there is a running theme of the fact that God always intended the nation of Israel to be set apart from other nations and to shine as a beacon of hope, so that everyone would look at them and say, they're different. That everyone would look at them and say, I want what they have. But time and time again, we see that Israel fails. They run off after the gods of other nations. They oppress the poor within their own cities. And they look down on those from other nations who come, even if those people come to them and begin to worship their God. But here, with the coming of the Holy Spirit on God's followers, Israel's call to be a light for God to the nations is restored, but now that is to be accomplished through the church. The church is to be a light to the world, calling the nations to know the hope of God. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus tells the disciples that they would be witnesses. And I firmly believe that this is not just him saying, hey, my 12 apostles, you guys are going to be my witnesses, but after you, I don't care what happens. He's talking to his followers. And he says, you're going to be my witnesses. And what we need to understand is that this word witnesses, it's not necessarily a call to have deep theological discussions with people. You know, you're probably not called to sit down across the table from some unchurched friend or relative and start talking to them about transubstantiation or sanctification or atonement or justification or any of these big, huge words. Okay, most people are just going to have their eyes glazed over. In fact, as I was saying those words, I watched your eyes glazing over. We're not necessarily called to these things. There are some that are called to do that. There may be the odd conversation that comes up where you might have to say, you know what, that's a great question. Let me look that up and I'll get back to you. And our culture actually appreciates it when we do that. But see, the call to witness is not the call to know everything. The call to witness is not running over to people on the street corner, grabbing them by the collar and saying, you're going to hell unless you follow Jesus. The call to witness is to boldly share what Jesus has done in our lives and to share the story of what Jesus did for the world. That's the call to witness. You're to take the stand for Jesus. So Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses. And he says, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, start where you're at. I think a lot of us think that in order to become witnesses for Jesus, we need to start leaving our towns. Or we need to start, you know, doing different things in the community, that we need to make a totally different set of friends. Now, I'll admit, if you don't know anybody that doesn't know Jesus, you need a new set of friends. Because we need to know people who need Jesus in order to tell them about Jesus. But he says, start where you're at. Start with your neighbors. Start with your family. Start with the people that you're side by side, shoulder to shoulder with on a daily basis at work. Take them out for a coffee. Or whatever you need to do. You know what? If they grab beers after work at the bar, go to the bar, and if you don't drink, get a club soda. And engage with people where they're at and share your story with them. And then Jesus says, spread the message abroad. Spread it abroad. Start where you're at and then spread it abroad. The reason why we support missionaries that go out from this church is because we believe that God wants us not only to be involved in ministry here, but also abroad. That God's work needs to be shared all around the world. And so we have missionaries like the Heinrichs who are in Costa Rica doing work in the jungles there, equipping pastors with what they need because they don't have access to anything else, and getting these pastors what they need to go further into the jungle and reach their own people. This is the kind of stuff that we're called to do. And maybe one day God is going to tap you on the shoulder and he's going to put on your heart that you need to go somewhere. Maybe you're going to get a job transfer that you really feel like you need to take. And you know, in this church, we're not going to say, oh, you horrible person that you're leaving Pincher Creek. We're going to say, praise God, he's sending you somewhere new. This is the call that Jesus gives his disciples. See, what I take from this is that Jesus sends you with authority and power to be a witness. Jesus sends you with authority and power to be a witness, not to sit on the couch. Not to just sit in the seats at church on Sunday, but to be a witness. And this doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't. Because most of us know somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Most of us know somebody that needs hope. And like I said before, if we don't know anybody, then join a club or something and get to know some people. Be an example of Jesus and also be a witness for him. What is a witness? Well, the first thing that a witness is, witnesses know the gospel and share it with others. If I just randomly pointed to one of you and said, can you please in 2 minutes share with me what the gospel is, what the good news of Jesus is, could you do it? Could you tell people what the good news of Jesus is? See, I believe that the good news of Jesus is the greatest love story ever told. That God created this world. He created a beautiful world. He created people who were to be in relationship with him and who were to work under him in caring for what he had made. But our ancestors, our forefathers, they rejected him because they wanted more than what they had been given. They wanted to be gods themselves. They wanted to take what was not theirs to take, and so they broke the relationship between themselves and God by doing the one thing that he told them not to. And in that moment, a rift was created between us and God, the life giver who had created us. But the interesting thing is that God didn't say, you know what, I'm done with you. Because he knew from the very beginning that this would happen, and he already had a plan in motion to bring us back to him. Jesus would come to earth. And when Jesus came to earth, it was God coming to earth in human form. And he would live among us and teach us, and he would live a sinless life. And then one day he would be nailed to a cross as an innocent man, dying a criminal's death. And in that moment, all of our sin, the debt that we owed God as people that had rejected him and committed treason against the King of Kings, was laid on Jesus, and he paid our debt for us. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose again victorious over sin, death, and Satan. And he says, if you will put your trust in me and follow me, I will give you life. I will give you forgiveness. And there is now a hope of a future spent for eternity with God in heaven. That's the good news. That's the good news. The good news isn't, guess what, you're going to get to go to church. Good news isn't, guess what, you need to stop drinking right now. It's not, you need to stop swearing. See, oftentimes we take good news and then we give people who don't know Jesus some really bad news in their opinion. We say, hey, those fun things that you like, you can't do them anymore. They haven't even come to know Jesus yet. But can we share the greatest love story ever told? Here's something that's baffling to me. A statistic from Lifeway Research in Canada, 35% of the unchurched say that a Christian has shared the benefits of becoming a Christian with them. 35%. So the two-thirds of the unchurched in Canada have never had someone say, this is why it's nice being a Christian. There's room here for people to hear. Another interesting statistic to me is that 43% of people never wonder if they will go to heaven when they die. The reason why this is exciting to me, actually, is because that means that 57% of people do wonder if they will go to heaven when they die. Remember, these are unchurched people that we're talking about here. 57% of unchurched Canadians wonder about what is going to happen after death. And we can tell them. But even more than that, look at this one here. Look at this. 7 out of 10 people agree that there is an ultimate purpose and plan for every person's life. 7 out of 10 people. They agree that there is some ultimate purpose and plan for every single person. Furthermore, 57% of unchurched people agree that a major priority in their life is finding their deeper purpose. And what do we have? We have the good news of the great purpose that God has for us. To know him, to be saved by him, and to share that good news with the world, living as ones that are filled with hope and peace and joy, being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And so you might think, they don't want to know, they don't need to know, that I have nothing that they want. But the fact of the matter is that people want to know purpose. And that there are people that want to know, is there some way that I can have hope after death? The message that we have is something that connects with people's hearts. Witnesses are also aware of what God has done and is doing in their lives, and they tell others about it. When I was younger, I grew up in a Christian home. I've been a Christian, if you will, since I was 4 years old and gave my life to the Lord sitting at home on the couch with my mom. And I grew up in a church and going to school where where these people would come in and they would just tell these stories of radical transformation. There was this one guy, he was a Hell's Angel, and he came to know Jesus. He went from breaking people's kneecaps with baseball bats, like a kid you not. He told us about how he used to break people's kneecaps, and then he came to know Jesus and was completely turned around. And in fact, he took a beating for Jesus when he left the Hell's Angels. And you hear stories like this, and then somebody comes up to me, and they're, I want you to share your testimony. I was like, I don't have a testimony. Like, a testimony has got to be some crazy thing about how Jesus changed my life. But eventually I came to understand that your testimony is not just about some radical transformation. It's about what Jesus is doing for you now. Jesus doesn't just touch you when you become a Christian and then leave you alone the rest of your life, but he's with you doing things in you time and time again. And so all that you need to do is recognize what your God story is. This is where journaling is great. When God does something good, if you're like, I got to tell people on Sunday about this, they're going to get so excited. Write it down. Don't forget these things. When there's an answer to prayer, write it down, because this is part of your God story, and there are going to be things that come down the road where someone's sharing a struggle that they're going through, or someone's sharing some situation in their lives, and you can go, oh man, that reminds me of this one time I was in the exact same thing, and you'll never guess the way that Jesus got me through it. It's an ongoing story. But you might say, but nobody wants to hear these things. Nobody wants to hear these things. Statistics don't agree with you. 47% of unchurched people in Canada say that they would discuss it freely if someone wants to talk about their religious beliefs. Just some random person. If you want to talk with me about your religious beliefs, sure, I'll talk freely. 12% say they discuss it with some discomfort, and 31% say that they'd listen without actively participating. It's only 11% that would change the topic as soon as possible. What's more, this is going to blow you away. Have you ever sat there going, you know, my friends are just going to roll their eyes at me if I tell them about Jesus? Just going to be like, why are you talking about this? Look at this. 73% of unchurched Canadians disagree that their Christian friends talk about their faith too much. 73%. Furthermore, 79% do not mind their friends talking about their faith if they really value it. So if they see that this is something important to you and you're not just somebody that goes to church on Christmas and Easter, but it's a part of who you are, they're like, I don't care if my friends talk about it. They listen to the things I'm interested in. Why wouldn't I listen to what they're interested in? It's only when we're like, well, Pastor Stephen told me that I need to tell people about Jesus, and so I guess, I mean, this stuff is good, but it's not that important. But sure, my pastor said that I need to talk to you. No, nobody wants to listen to that. I don't even want to hear me talk about it that way, you know? But if it value it, if it's important to you, then your friends are going to want to hear it. Statistics agree. And friends, this isn't American statistics. Okay? This isn't skewed in some kind of, well, we're a Christian nation and there. No, this is Canadian. And I believe this survey was taken, I believe it was 2010 or 2013, so we're not, it hasn't changed that much. There's also things that we can do to make it so that they're more likely to listen. See, before we can share, we have to show. And so they were asked which of any of the following would make you more interested in listening to what Christians have to say. And this is what some of the responses were. If I saw them treat others better because of their faith. If I saw them caring for people's needs because of their faith. If I saw them be happier because of their faith. If I saw them standing up against injustice because of their faith. If I saw them use their faith to solve problems in our community. If I saw them use their faith to help them solve their personal problems. If I saw multiple races or ethnicities working together in a church. Only 29% of those that were surveyed said, you know what, none of this stuff would change my opinion and make me more receptive to what Christians have to say. If we just lived it. Because friends, can I share with you that if you read about who Jesus is in Scripture, you will find that these are the very things we're supposed to be doing. So if we did what we were supposed to do, when we go to our friends and our neighbors and our communities and began to share with them the good news of Jesus, they would be more than happy to listen. Be more than happy to listen. The third and final thing, the least effective thing, but something that we should be doing nonetheless, is that witnesses invite others to see for themselves by inviting them to church services and events. Again, remember the statistics that we saw at the beginning here. This is probably the least effective thing. We're going to see some statistics about all of this that are going to show that this isn't quite as effective as you just sitting down and sharing your experience, your story with someone. But you know, over one third of people say that they would attend a worship service if somebody that they knew invited them. Again, the statistics aren't as good as people wanting to just talk about their faith, but they're there. Over half of respondents say that they would attend a community service project put on by the church if a friend invited them. In other words, if we decided that we were going to go out and offer to paint fences around the community and we invited people to join us and work side by side with God's people in the community, 51% of the unchurched say, "I'm with you. I'm with you." 51% say that a personal invitation from a friend or neighbor from the church would be effective in getting them to visit. Whether it's only a little effective or very effective, it's effective. And 55% say that a personal invitation from a family member would be effective in getting them to visit. What am I saying here? I'm saying that we worry and we worry and we worry and we worry and we think nobody is going to come to Jesus. Nobody is going to be willing to hear what I have to say, but the statistics say they want to hear. They're willing to hear if we have a relationship with them, if we're genuine with them. And yet many of us continue and still worry to think that people hate us for what we believe, and so we stay quiet. However, when asked which of the following describes your feelings about the faith of your Christian friends, 33% say, "I admire it." 33%. Only 1% say, "I give them a hard time about it." 1% say, "I try to change it." 18% put up with it. Hey, that's something. And when asked what they feel the Christian faith is, 42% said it's good for society. Only 6% said it's harmful. We feel like society hates us, that they hate the message. And some do. Some do. And they're very loud. But there are many out there who we are shying away from doing what God has sent us to do, to tell them about the good news of Jesus, because we think that they're all in that 6%. And we don't recognize that there's so many who actually look at us and admire us for our faith, who believe that we're doing good things in the world. That there are so many that are just longing to hear the message that we have delivered to them that we're not reaching. Remember, two-thirds of respondents said that they'd never had a Christian tell them why they should believe. So friends, it's time to live full of the Spirit and with a passion to tell others. Because every Christian is a minister and every Christian has a ministry, and no Christian is meant to be a spectator. Imagine what our community would be like if we would just lean into this scentedness. If we would just lean into it and go and do what Jesus has called us to do. And yes, listen, we're going to fail from time to time, all right? We're going to go and we're going to be like, "I'm going to tell this person about Jesus." And then we go, "Not. I've been there. I've walked into a place and I'm just like, you know what, I feel like God wants me to tell this person about Jesus, and I get up there, I'm like, I don't even know what to say. God bless you. You know? And there's been times where I've been caught up in discussion, and I run my mouth a little bit, and I realize that I might have hurt more than I helped, that I've missed an opportunity. But you know, the thing that I found is that Jesus picks me back up and I try to learn from my mistakes. I go, "This is what happened in this situation. If this comes up again, can I do something different?" And next time, I'm more aware. Next time, I do better. Next time I start with God, please help me. So we must decide, are we ready to be Jesus' witnesses? Are we ready to go out knowing that God has sent this church into Pincher Creek, telling us that he wants us by the end of 2020 to see 600 people touched with the love of Jesus and 20 new, fruitful, vibrant believers in Jesus? Are we ready to be a part of that vision? To do our part? And if we are, then today I call you to commit to witness to two people this week. Share the gospel. Share your God stories and or invite them to church. I mean, if you want the easy one to do, I've given each of you on your seat two of these invitational cards. I mean, you don't even have to talk. Please talk to them. But, I mean, you could just be like, hi, thank you, here you go. I mean, they're going to be like, these people are weird. I don't know that I want to go there to this. But somebody might pick it up and go like, oh, cool. There's like weird people like me that go to that church. I'm gonna check it out. You never know. You never know. Or maybe you're going to have a conversation with somebody in a lineup somewhere and you're going to tell them about Jesus and you can just take one of these out and be like, if you want to know more, why don't you come with me to church? I'll give you a call and I'll pick you up. I'll bring you. You don't need to arrive alone. We'll come in together. So even if we show up a little bit early, you got me. At least you know me. But can we do this together? Listen, I've let you off easy the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, I've just been like, hey, go and pray. Ask God to give you a sense of his authority. Ask God to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit for ministry. Today, I'm asking you to act. Today, I'm asking you to act. Can you, in the next 7 days, I don't know how many waking hours that is, but in the next 7 days, can you talk to or invite two? Say that with me, two. I don't know about you, but that's a small number, okay? That means that you barely have to do anything, really. That's what that means. If you want to be a keener, go to a restaurant after service today, talk to one person there, and then fill up your car at a full-service gas station, talk to the person that's filling up your car there. You're done for the week, you know? Whatever you want to do. But talk to two. I've talked a lot today. I think it's time that we process some stuff. I think it's time that we sang one more song together and participated in communion together. And so just before you go, let's pray. Heavenly Father, work in our hearts and give us the courage that we need. But Lord, I also pray that you'll give us a desperation to recognize that the time is short and that the need is real. And help us to be desperate to see people accept you and know you. Lord, let it be an untenable thing in our hearts that our neighbors and our friends and our family could pass from this world without having heard us share with them the greatest story ever told. Work in our hearts and work in their lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus
and Jesus alone as my master and my savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.